here's USA Today's headline on the Benghazi hearing. Plenty of fireworks, no smoking gun. The consensus of even some conservative pundits like John Podhoretz is that Republicans failed to dent Hillary Clinton after nearly 11 hours of congressional grilling yesterday on Benghazi, and she now has fewer rivals in her own party.
That's right. This week, Joe Biden announced he would not run. Jim Webb dropped out, at least as a candidate for the Democratic Party. And today, the anti-war candidate Lincoln Chafee referred to Aristophanes Lysistrata when he announced his withdrawal.
Now, as you may know, I've been campaigning on a platform of prosperity through peace. But after much thought, I've decided to end my campaign for the president today. Thank you.
Now, his supporters there. Well, our 2016 choir is still a quartet, so let them rip.
Here and now, 2016.
Meghna, are you rolling your eyes?
This is the radio. I shall be silent.
Well, let's bring in John Ralston, columnist for the Reno Gazette Journal and host of Ralston Live on statewide PBS in Nevada. Hi, John.
Hi there.
And also Jesse Holland, who manages the AP Politics Twitter feed. Hi, Jesse.
How are you today?
I'm good. And so I want from each of you one line, your take on how Hillary Clinton did. Jesse, you start.
One line on how she did. OK.
Yeah.
She did as well as she could expect, given what she was facing.
OK. And John?
She won.
Okay, there you go. Let's listen to a moment from last night when Alabama Republican Martha Roby was questioning Clinton about the night of the attack.
Who else was at your home? Were you alone?
I was alone, yes.
The whole night?
Well, yes, the whole night.
Well, I don't know why that's funny. I mean, did you have any in-person briefings? I don't find it funny at all.
I'm sorry, a little note of levity at 7:15.
Well, I mean, the reason I say it's not funny is because it went well into the night when our folks on the ground were still in danger.
And Jesse and John, that goes to, first of all, how long this interrogation went on, but also that it was profoundly serious for some of the Republicans on the panel. Some of them who said Hillary Clinton didn't explain why she got advice from her friend Sidney Blumenthal in emails, but didn't respond to requests to the State Department for more security from Ambassador Chris Stevens, who was killed, and that she never really explained why she said in an email that it was an al-Qaeda-based attack, but then said publicly it was a protest over that anti-Muslim film. So, Jesse, pick that up. Are these questions over? Are we going to hear them on the campaign trail?
Of course they're not over. This is one of the main attack lines Republicans have against her for her Democratic nomination for the presidency. We're going to hear this over and over until the presidential election is over. Even if we don't hear it from members of Congress, we're going to hear it from on the campaign trail. What they were looking for yesterday was, especially for her Clinton's political opponents, they were looking for a line similar to the first hearing where she had the what difference does it make line. They were looking for a line that they could use against her for the presidency. She didn't give it to them. So from that standpoint, she won. But did the American people learn anything new about Benghazi? No. What we learned was a little bit more about how Hillary Clinton acts in moments of stress over an 11-hour hearing.
Right. Well,
that's what we learned.
You know, you also mentioned that her political opponents for the presidency were looking for a way in. They may or may not have found it, but Carly Fiorina and Rand Paul on the Republican side still weighed in on Hillary Clinton's testimony. We've got a little bit of tape here. First, Rand Paul on CNN and then Carly Fiorina on ABC.
I don't think it's good for her. I've always said that she's going to have a tough time convincing the American public that she will defend our country because she sent an ambassador into harm's way and didn't provide him with adequate defense.
Well, I think she did reasonably well. I think it demonstrates that she won't be held accountable until we have a nominee in a general election debate who will hold her accountable.
So, John, do you think that this in any way helped Republican presidential candidates right now?
No, I think quite the contrary, as a matter of fact. I think we did learn a few new things, including what you mentioned at the end of your introduction there, which is that Hillary Clinton apparently knew much earlier than was otherwise reported that this was a terrorist attack. But I think people have already processed that there was some very bad massaging of the truth at the beginning of this. People have made up their mind about Benghazi. And Hillary Clinton, of course, got some real help in the run-up to this hearing from Kevin McCarthy and other Republicans Republicans saying essentially this was designed to go after Hillary Clinton. And really the most telling moment of that hearing to me was right before the morning break when they were going on and on about Sidney Blumenthal, who
right.
nobody in real America knows. And there was Trey Gowdy, the chairman, being baited by the ranking Democrat Elijah Cummings. And there was a split screen on TV, and you could see Hillary Clinton almost wanting to start applauding. Please, go on, gentlemen.
I was hoping that we would get – I mean, when we did some deep reporting on this at the time, it turns out that some analysts say it might have been both things. It might have been some people with terrorist leanings who were ginning up a crowd by talking about the film. But we never really got into any of that. But here's what I want to do. I want to switch to another candidate out on the trail who's being asked to make a statement of his own. But first, this is Bernie Sanders. We all remember he was the butt of jokes on SNL when Larry David impersonated him as a guy with a pair of underwear. Here he is, at least maybe proving Sanders, proving he can take a joke.
Yes, last week I bought my second pair of underwear. Yeah. That's a joke. All right. Please don't write it down. That was a joke. Joke. Even have, when I was, when I was mayor of the city of Burlington, I think I did have one suit, but I have now, being a United States Senator, increased my number of suits.
Okay, so there's a fun moment there. But Jesse, there are some saying that aides are telling Bernie Sanders that he may have to have sort of a Barack Obama moment or even a Mitt Romney moment when they both had to speak about faith, or in Barack Obama's case, his spiritual leader, that Bernie Sanders is being pushed to talk about what being a democratic socialist is.
Well, one of the things that helped Bernie Sanders this week was both Lincoln Chafee and Jim Webb dropping out of the race, because it turns him from being an outsider candidate to almost the last legitimate challenger to Hillary Clinton getting the Democratic nomination. So he's now going to be forced to step up his game and explain to America why he's in this race. Why is he opposing Hillary Clinton? Why does he want to be president? And to do that, he's going to have to actually explain his positions.
And apparently he's going to do a speech about what a democratic socialist is, which will be fascinating.
Well, you got to keep in mind that still most Americans, they don't really know who he is. They know that he's a democratic socialist. So, yes, he's going to have to explain what that is, because no one really knows his positions. They just know he's opposing Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination. Mm-hmm. Now's his time to shine.
Right.
Well, I think they know his positions, if I can jump
sure.
in here, that essentially he is further to the left than Hillary Clinton on a lot of issues, that he wants to talk about income inequality in a way that Hillary Clinton just can't, not just because she's taken a lot of money from Wall Street or because she and Bill Clinton have become very rich. And he's really tapped into a vein in the Democratic Party. But with Joe Biden out, which, of course, is the most significant development outside of the Benghazi hearings or the debate last week, it's now Hillary Clinton versus Bernie Sanders. And while there are a lot of Democrats, I think, who really like what Bernie Sanders has to say or might have so-called Clinton fatigue, they also want to win. Mm. And right now is not the time to focus on winning. It's the time to get excited, just as that's what's going on the Republican side, too. But when they start to focus on winning an election, and when they start to get to states where Hillary Clinton is so much better organized than Bernie Sanders, I think that's going to fall away. I think he has a very, very difficult time.
Right. Well, John, you mentioned excitement on the Republican side. Let's talk about what happened there today, because there's big polling news out of Iowa that Donald Trump has actually slipped to second place behind Ben Carson. What do you make of that?
That's the second poll in 2 days that essentially shows the same thing, that he is significantly behind Ben Carson. Maybe Donald Trump is calling a news conference while we're doing this to drop out of the race, but I doubt that. Failing that, though, I do think that Trump now has a problem with Carson, because Carson is essentially a much different kind of candidate than Trump. He is the anti-Trump. He's not bombastic. He is what Donald Trump says of Jeb Bush in many ways, low energy, but he's got a great personal story, and he appeals to evangelical Republicans in a way that Donald Trump cannot, and that's why he's starting to lose ground in Iowa. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how Donald Trump reacts to this and how Ben Carson reacts to now essentially being called the front runner in the Republican race.
Well, John Ross, we only got about a minute here, but there you are in Nevada, and I just want to ask you about Jeb Bush. He's also tied with Rand Paul for fifth place. Today reports that he's cutting staff and payroll, and he also said in interview with you that I don't like gambling, just for the record. So how's he going over in Nevada?
Well, you know, he's not doing that well in Nevada. He came to introduce a lands plan a couple days ago here in Nevada, kind of a nod to the West, said he's going to bring the Department of the Interior out here. And we're just sitting there in this beautiful park in Reno, and I was asking some questions, and he just blurted that out. I don't like gambling, which I guess is a tribute to him being consistent, because you may remember during the debate it came up with Trump that Trump had tried to get gambling in Florida. And so maybe at least he's being consistent. But I have to tell you, Nevada is not exactly the best place to say, I don't like gambling.
Well, who would have thunk, in a change from the last debate, Jeb Bush is not going to be standing center stage next to Donald Trump at next week's debate. Marco Rubio will be in the middle. He's now polling higher than Bush. So twists and turns continue. John Ralston is columnist for the Reno Gazette Journal and host of Ralston Live on statewide PBS in Nevada. Jesse Holland, who manages the AP Politics Twitter feed, thanks for taking a look at this place in the road to 2016.
Thank you.
Thank you.